Turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. I titled this message, A Look Beyond the Grave. A Look Beyond the Grave. And this is based on a true story. Vicki and I were watching a program last night, a movie last night. And at the beginning of the movie, it said, based on a true story. Well, every time we see that, it catches our attention. We got to see what it is. And I told Vicki, I said, I could use that title for my message in the morning. Based on a true story. Then I said, but I could use that for every one of my messages. I said, I can title every one of my messages based on a true story. But this is based on a true story, and our Lord is giving it. And what we have in this portion of Scripture is a rare look beyond the grave. I know many speak of life after death, and many wonder what it's like. And many wonder if there is life after death. Well, here our Lord pulls the curtain back. And He lets us see into that next world. He gives us a glimpse. I mean, we just get a glimpse into that world. And what happens after death. Right here it is. And I want us to keep in mind who it is that's giving us this glimpse. It's the Lord who is both Lord of the living and the dead. So He knows what He's talking about. He's Lord of the living and the dead. Now I know that many use hell and its torments as a scare tactic to get people to make a profession. But I'm using it To be honest, as Paul said, I have not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God. I like preaching on the love of God in Christ Jesus. I like preaching on the grace of God, the mercy of God, but we can't ignore these things also and be honest with people. We have to be honest. Be honest with the Scriptures. Be honest with one another. So let's look at this for a little bit. In verse 19 and 20, we have two men presented to us by our Lord. One is lost, one is saved. Now, if you were living at that time, which one would you think was saved? It'd be that rich man. Be that Jew. You say, how do you know he's a Jew? He called Abraham father. He kept speaking to Father Abraham. That tells me this man was a Jew. And everyone who looked at those two at that time, no doubt thought that rich man surely had God's favor. One is poor, one is rich. One is healthy, one is sickly. The dogs licked his sores. And this was God's child. This was God's child. Don't make the mistake of thinking that health and wealth is a sign of God's favor. You know what a sign of God's favor is? Faith and repentance. That's a sign of God's favor. When God grants you the faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and repent. Poverty is not a sign of God's displeasure. It's not a sign of God's displeasure. Christ became poor. Did he? He became poor. He was among the poor far more often than he was among the rich. He said, you tell John the Baptist, the poor have the gospel preached to them. They have the gospel preached to them. Now, both men died. Everybody expected Lazarus to die. That rich man, And when he would see him, he expected Lazarus to die. He didn't expect to die. Not when he died. I don't think anybody expects to die when they die. People, you know, when reality of death is sets in is when they die. You don't expect to die tonight. I don't think anybody here expects that. It really expects it. But both men died. We all have to die sooner or later. Solomon says over in Ecclesiastes, the rich and the poor die, the beast die. And he said it, the same happens to all of them. The righteous, the wicked, the beast, they all die. Listen to Psalm 49, 6 through 9. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him, that he should still live forever and not see corruption, not die. No, both men died. But after they died, now comes the real difference. Now listen, now comes the real difference. Death puts us in our place forever, doesn't it? There's no change after that. And there's something else you notice in the reading of the scripture. The rich man's name is not given. You notice that? His name's not given. But the poor man's name is given. You know why? His name is given, Lazarus. Because his name is in the book of life. His name is written in the Lamb's book of life. And every name, now listen, every name that's not written in the Lamb's book of life shall be forgotten. The Word of God teaches us that. It teaches us that they shall be forgotten. And that man's name is not even mentioned. It's just mentioned that he was a certain rich man. And here's another note of interest. As the rich man lived, so he died. He lived unjustified, and he died unjustified. He died that way. Listen to what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 11:3. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there shall it be. There's no change. If a tree falls to the north or south, it doesn't get up and do. No, that's where it is. That's where it lies. Now listen to Revelation 22:11. He that is unjust, he's talking about when he dies. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. There's no change after death. No change. Death doesn't change who we are. Now, in verse 27, this rich man, I'm going to point this out later, but the rich man remembered, in hell, he remembered his father's house and he remembered his five brothers. He's still selfish. As I said, there's no change. He didn't remember those around him. He remembered his father's house. He remembered his five brothers, and that's all he remembered. He didn't remember anybody else. And he asked Abraham to send Lazarus back to warn his brothers about that place. I don't ever stand in the pulpit and warn you about a place. I warn you about God. God, who outside of Christ is a consuming fire. That's who I warn people about. God. He said, he wanted him to warn him about that place of torment. And he knew his brothers knew Lazarus. They'd passed him many times. So this is why he wanted him to send Lazarus back to speak to his brothers. But they know, you know, all of a sudden Lazarus becomes important. But there's something else I noticed here. He's speaking to the wrong person. Father Abraham. He's speaking to the wrong person. If you want to talk about salvation, you're going to speak to God. See, his whole problem was he thought because of his connection, his heritage to Abraham was going to save him. He thought that automatically put him in the covenant and everything was all right. Everything was all wrong. He missed the Lamb of God. He missed the atonement. He missed true righteousness. He missed Jesus Christ. And he's talking to the wrong person. He's talking to Father. He's calling Abraham his father. It's God we speak to. We don't speak to Mary. We don't speak to Abraham. We don't speak to any of the departed saints. We speak to God Almighty. Lord, have mercy on me. If he'd have said, Lord, have mercy on my brothers, you know, send them back and tell them about the gospel. Tell them about Jesus Christ. But he didn't. That's not what he said. Warn them about this place. And he believed if one rose from the dead, that they would believe. If one rose from the dead and came in here, you think anybody who does not believe would believe? Well, I'm talking to you. I talk to you every week about one who rose from the dead. And some still don't believe. Some still don't believe. Some still have not confessed Christ and followed after him. He rose from the dead. When he rose from the dead, they still didn't believe on him. When he raised the other Lazarus from the dead, they didn't believe on him. In fact, they were so mad that they wanted to kill Lazarus because he got so much attention over it. The other Lazarus. But Abraham gives him the correct answer. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. They have the Word of God. Now, why would you believe someone that rose from the dead? Because if Lazarus went back, you know what he'd tell them? The Word of God. The same thing. The same thing Moses and the prophets. The same thing I'm telling you this morning. It wouldn't be any different. It would be the Word of God. And that's why Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Listen, his brothers heard the Scriptures read every week. They heard the Scriptures read weekly. And he said, let them hear what the Scriptures say. Let them hear what the Word of God says. And he said, no, Father Abraham, no. But if one went to them from the dead, they'd repent. They see one from the dead. They wouldn't repent. Repentance is the gift of God. Faith is a gift of God. It's a work of God. It says over in the book of Acts, he granted to the Gentiles. Listen, he granted them repentance. God granted repentance. God did a work of grace in the heart. God gave life. And in the giving of life, he gives faith. And faith comes repentance. They go together. Oh, they'll repent. No, they won't. He said, no, if they won't hear Moses and the prophets, if they will not hear the gospel when it's preached, if they will not hear the Word of God, this is God's Word. This is not my words. This is not the words of a man. This is literally the Word of God. This is God speaking. When Doug read the Scripture to you, he was reading, the Lord was speaking. He's speaking. That's why the Lord said, Take heed to how you hear, for with what measure you meet it with, it shall be measured to you again. Now, as I said, they both died. Let me get back to this. Lazarus died, or verse 22, Lazarus dies. The righteous die as well as the wicked, but what a difference. Oh, what a difference after they die. We are told that the angels carried him to Abraham's bosom. Now, in saying this, he's saying that he was carried to heaven. Because the Jews, they often made this expression when someone died and they went to heaven. They went to Abraham's bosom because they believed Abraham was in heaven. Abraham was in a happy state. And they are saying that person is there with Abraham in heaven. That's what they're saying. And he says here, the angels, the Lord said the angels carried him to Abraham's bosom. And this rich man dies and he's buried. He's buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. And he sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus there with him in his bosom. He's there with him. You know, I think of my pastor and Rupert and here. They're with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. They're with the Lord, but they're with all these other saints that we read about in the Scriptures. David. They're with them. They're with them. And he's saying here that he saw Lazarus with Abraham. Here's the one, this rich man is one everyone envied. Everyone envies the rich. Now they do. They want to be like him. Everyone, they want their children to grow up and be like him. I bet you there's not one person said to their child, I want you to be like Lazarus. Laying over there at the gate, dogs licking his sores. There's not one parent who said, I want you to be like Lazarus. But every child of God in this room says, I want my child to be like Lazarus. I do. Not necessarily laying at a gate poor. But I want them to be like Lazarus who believed God and died. And the angels came. And what a heavenly host took him home. What a train of angels took this saint home. What an entrance he had into glory. But everybody, they want their child to grow up and be like that rich man. They want, you know, everybody wants to be a friend of the rich. The rich, the Scripture says, have many friends until he goes broke and then he don't have them. But boy, as long as you got money, you got a lot of friends now. The rich has many friends. I'm sure this rich man had a big funeral. You know, they look at the side of the funeral. Boy, he must have been an important man. Oh, I wouldn't judge by that. All the upper class were there. All the dignitaries were there, you know. And Lazarus, no doubt, was buried in the poor man's field. He's buried with probably nobody there. Maybe one or two people. That's all was showed up, except for the heavenly host. Oh, that's the ones I want at my funeral. And if you come, I won't know about it anyway. So, but I sure want the heavenly host to be there. I sure want to be carried home to glory. God took great care in bringing Lazarus home. He sent this heavenly host to accompany him. Listen to Revelation 14:13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. And their works do follow them. The rich man's place. Let's take a look at it. In hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, plural. This is based on a true story. This is a true story. Our Lord never gave a story that was not true. This rich man lift up his eyes in hell, and there's a few things he found out real fast. He found out who God is too late. He didn't listen. He didn't listen. All those times he went to the temple. All those times he heard the word of God. He did not listen. He's a rich man. What do you think he's thinking of while he's there? He was thinking of his investments. I guarantee you he was thinking of his investments. He was thinking of his crops. He was not listening. Take heed how you hear. He found out that his self-righteousness could not save him. He found out that his connection to Abraham could not save him. It's your connection to Jesus Christ that saves. Not to anything of this flesh. He found out there is judgment after death. And Jews included. Him included. They thought they were completely isolated from that through that covenant with Abraham. He found out that God is a just God and no respecter of persons. That's what he found out. He found out truth too late. And he was in torment. Whatever that is, he was getting it. Whatever that is. Whatever those flames are, he's getting it. And then here's something else I'm going to point out. He was very much alive. He could see Abraham with his eyes. He could see Abraham. He could speak. He asked for water to cool the tip of his tongue. His body had a thirst. He had a thirst. I have no doubt that a part of the torments of this place is the unsatisfied appetites of the body. Because we use this body to sin with, and it's going to be punished right along with us. Body, soul, spirit. Those who are punished there. I want you to listen to this scripture. Matthew 10:28. Our Lord says, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." That's who you fear. Not the place, but him. Him. And then listen, he envied Lazarus. He said, send Lazarus. Lazarus wasn't important to him before. Send Lazarus now. And then the pain was real because he said, "I'm tormented in this flame." And Abraham said, "Son," and listen, I think here is one of the greatest torments. Here it is. "Son, remember." Right here. Right now, you and I value our memory, don't we? We value having a good memory. But in hell, that's one of the worst things you're going to have. Listen. "Son, remember." He remembered all those scriptures. He remembered. I guarantee you, if someone were to perish from here, you would remember this message. You would remember this portion of Scripture. You'll remember it. The greatest torment is the memory. Rolf Barnard called the memory God's bloodhounds. He's got a message on God's bloodhounds, and it's the memory. He was told to remember how blessed he was while Lazarus suffered at his gate. He said, "You in your lifetime, you received the good things, and Lazarus, the evil things, or a hard life." But now he's comforted. He's comforted in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's evident he believed the gospel. It's evident he believed God. And now you're tormented. And beside all this, he said, "Between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from here to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from there." Now listen, here's what he's saying. God has decreed that the two shall never mix again. That the righteous and the ungodly will never mix again. That's all that's saying. God has decreed that. But Abraham said there, and I said, I want to touch on this again, as I said earlier. Abraham said they had Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Let them hear the gospel. Let them hear the gospel. Let them believe God. Because a miracle, seeing one rise from the dead, is not going to help them. Death is real. Judgment's real. Heaven is real. Hell is real. Salvation from sin, death, and hell in Jesus Christ is real. It's real. It's very real. It's very real. Now, in closing, I have one last scene of a man in hell. I have one last scene. And I want us to go to it. Look over Matthew 27. Matthew 27. Verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That's to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Here is a man, another man, going through hell. Here's another man suffering the hell of God's wrath. Here's another man who lifts up his eyes in torments. Here's another man in John 19:28 says, I thirst. Just like that man in hell said, send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and cool the tip of my tongue. Here's another man who cries out, I thirst. I thirst. I'm in these flames. I'm in these torments. He's in the same torments. He's in it. Jesus Christ's sufferings, his greatest sufferings, was far more than the pain that he suffered in the flesh hanging on that cross and the beating he took. He's taking God's wrath. He's taking hell. That's what he's doing. But oh, what a difference in the two men. What a difference in these two men. You see, this first man could not satisfy justice by his death. That's why the torment of hell is eternal. Those there cannot satisfy God's wrath. They still hate God. They still do not believe God. But this second man, now listen, this second man, he is able to put out the flames of God's wrath because of who he is. He's God hanging on that cross, suffering his own justice. That's who he is. He's the God-man, suffering at the hands of his own justice. He's satisfied. This is the only man who could literally die and satisfy the justice of God and put out the flames. He's able by his person, he's able by his obedience. He obeyed God's law perfectly. And here is a man suffering the hell of God's wrath, not for his own sins, but the sins of others. My sins. I see this rich man in hell. That's me. That's where I ought to be. Then I see this other man hanging on a cross going through hell. For me. And in him, the hell of God's wrath is swallowed up. He drank the cup dry. There's none left. Christ Jesus is the only man who could satisfy God by his death. Now listen, the scripture says that God finds no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He finds no satisfaction in the death of the wicked. God found no satisfaction, no pleasure in the death of that rich man being in hell. But he does find pleasure in the death of Christ. Listen. Well, just turn over to Isaiah 53. You'll read it. There is one death that satisfied God that God found pleasure in. Isaiah chapter 53. Look in verse 10. Listen. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He found pleasure in it. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. God put him to grief on that cross. He put him in hell. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his day, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. That's what he's doing on Calvary's tree. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. That is one death. That is one man who died under the wrath and hell of God's wrath, and put it away. Put it away. And my word to anyone here is to, and everyone here, is to flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you a story that I've heard my pastor tell several times. He told of a wagon train that was going out west. You know, they have their big prairie fires from time to time, lightning strikes. He said there was a wagon train going out west, and there was this big prairie fire coming toward them. And the wagon master, he told them to circle the wagons, and they burn out a great big area. Burn it out. And then they circled the wagons on that area. And this little girl saying to her father, she said, I'm scared. She was getting scared as the flames grew closer. And he said, honey, don't worry. You're standing on burnt ground. Jesus Christ is burnt ground. Jesus Christ is burnt ground. And where the fire has burned once, listen, it will not burn again. It will not burn again. I thank God that Jesus Christ took my hell for me. And all those who look to Him and all those who flee to Him are safe. They're safe. They're on burnt ground. And it will not burn again. All right.